This is Local Views, second time in November, '09. This week's news has been dominated by carnage on an army base in Texas and a health care vote on the floor of the House of Representatives. Some random comments about each. Regarding the army shrink who went Columbine at Fort Hood, the president wisely advised us not to jump to conclusions, but much of the commentary since then has attempted to downplay any religious significance. No doubt there are universal measurements of psychiatric disorders to explain it, but it's difficult to find any room for doubt that Major Hassan believed he was acting out of religious convictions. By the time this story falls off the mainstream media radar, we're unlikely to know any more about his motives than we know about those of Sirhan Sirhan, James Earl Ray, or Jack Ruby. You may have noticed that the free press lacks the liberty to examine the thinking of those it accuses of politically significant crimes. Well, the House health care bill has some interesting details, but we'd be foolish to believe anything we might like about it will survive all the way to the president's desk. By all accounts, the Senate will give us a bill that leaves more people out in the cold, gives us a much wimpier public option, and allows the individual states to dump the public option. Travis was right when he said that the real health care bill will be decided behind closed doors by a handful of key congressional power brokers. After all these months of arguing, posturing, hand-wringing, and arm-twisting, they'll count the votes, take the signals from the White House, and assemble a bill which will pass both houses and be signed by the president, all within a matter of hours. The vote in the House was close, demonstrating that just counting the Democrats doesn't work to explain the ideological profile of Congress. 30-some Democrats in the House can be counted as Republican votes on this and any other issues that might be tagged as progressive causes. So, even though this bill doesn't resemble an equitable health care reform in any way, it's too liberal for nearly half our elected representatives, and Dennis Kucinich was the only person to vote against the bill from a progressive perspective. Interviewed by Amy Goodman this week, Kucinich described the bill as a redistribution of wealth upward and said rather than moving toward fair, equal, and universal access to health care, it locks the country into a system of selling health care for profit indefinitely. In the Senate, the Blue Dog Democrats aren't strong enough to threaten the majority, but the Democrats are terrified of being unable to pull 60 votes, the number it takes to shut down a filibuster. Filibuster is the parliamentary maneuver in which someone seizes the floor and just keeps talking to prevent anyone else from calling for a vote. The pertinent question is, so what? The tactic is best known historically for its use by Southern senators to stall civil rights bills. Strom Thurmond personally spoke for over 24 consecutive hours opposing the Civil Rights Act of 1957, and opponents mounted a 57-day filibuster against the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but both pieces of legislation eventually were adopted. Ironically, Senate Republicans now claim they are willing to align themselves with those racist dinosaurs to delay a bill which actually will benefit their friends in the health insurance business more than it harms them. In Washington, symbolism trumps reason every time. Mayor Gavin Newsom and Giants pitcher Tim Lincecum, arguably the two most recognizable celebrities in San Francisco, each made national news in the past week in ways which might have reflected negatively on them in most places, but we're talking San Francisco here. Right after he quit the governor's race, Newsom managed to get out of town without telling anyone, ditching a full schedule of appointments and speaking engagements, and leaving his staff to make up some lame excuses. This inspired comparisons to Mark Sanford, who hiked the Appalachian Trail all the way to Argentina, but it turned out that Newsom was relaxing in Hawaii with his wife, a rather conservative disappearing act by San Francisco standards. Lincecum carelessly got stopped for speeding on I-5 in southern Washington, and even more carelessly, was carrying a finger of green bud in the console, and he doesn't even have a doctor's recommendation. This is a crime which, if it's noticed at all, tends to enhance his stature as a goofball sports hero in San Francisco. The state of Washington doesn't make much of it either. Turns out Timmy's fine for driving too fast is more than the penalty for the weed. That's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you this commentary doesn't necessarily get me speeding and weeding tickets on behalf of KVMR, its management, staff, or contributors. Email mark@calloki.com.